Good afternoon. Thank you for waiting. Welcome to Estapar's teleconference to discuss earnings in Q2 2020. We have Mr. André Yazzi, CEO, and Mr. Emilio Sanchez, CFO and IR Director, Mr. Fernando Zillo, Director of New Businesses and On Street, and Mr. Daniel Soraji, Planning and IR Manager, are here with us today. This conference is being recorded and all participants are in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. We will then have a Q&A session. Further instructions will be given then. Should you need any assistance, please press star zero to reach an operator. This webcast is being broadcast at ri.estapar.com.br. You can also find the presentation slides there. Slides selection is controlled by yourselves. The replay of this event will be available. Webcast participants can submit questions. They'll be answered by the IR team after the conference. Before we proceed, we would like to state that future statements made about the company's expectations, projections, operational and financial goals are based on the company's current beliefs and also based on currently available information to the company. Future considerations are no guarantee of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and premises because they are related to future events that depend on future circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors and analysts, general conditions, industry conditions, and other operational factors may impact the company's results. They may lead to different results to those that were expressed in future considerations. I turn over to Mr. André Yazzi, CEO of Estapar, for his presentation. Good morning, everyone. I'm André Yazzi. I am Estapar's CEO. Today, I'll be talking about the earnings presentation of Q2 of 2020 and the first 6 months of the year. On slide four, I'd like to start by talking about the monitoring of COVID-19 at Estapar. On page five, still on the monitoring of COVID-19, we are reopening our operations. The off-street reopening follow strict sanitary protocol. 85.4% were already in operation as of July 31st. That's a twofold increase when compared to April at about 43.2%. From all the closed operations, about 80% of those are in leisure and education, the most affected industries. On-street operations were already 100% operational as of June 30th, the most accelerated recovery group in terms of revenue for the company. On page six, cost management. We managed to reduce costs by 63.2% in the second quarter of the year, year on year. Despite a decrease in rent revenues of 68% due to the pandemic, we reduced SG&A by 36.3% in the second quarter when compared to the second quarter of last year. There was a CapEx reduction, mostly discretionary, showed a 77.1% reduction for the quarter when compared to the same quarter of last year. That shows that the company can reduce costs given the loss in revenue during these troubled times. Monitoring monthly revenues in April, when compared to April 2019, showed a major drop of 83.7%. In May, 13% recovery, a slight improvement. June, 45.5%, a substantial increase when compared to May. And that trend continues in July. That makes us believe that the second quarter of the year was the worst quarter ever for the company. Numbers should improve, except for an unexpected second wave of the pandemic. Now, on to the highlights. The Zona Azul concession, it's a 15-year contract. The initial order was issued by the local government on July the 15th. The group in charge of the operational transition, made up of local government people and Estapar people as well. The payments, in the total of $150 million, the initial payments have been made as of June 30th, according to schedule. We have resorted to credit lines to reinforce our cash position, amounting to $99.2 million in new credit lines in the first half of the year, and we are now rolling over an additional $50 million for August 2020. That is testament to the company's creditworthiness. In terms of urban mobility hub, there are several initiatives trying to generate additional revenue sources, such as the miscellaneous use of parking operations for COVID-19 quick testing and drive-in movie theaters. Still on about the COVID-19, we have sanitized over 600 ride-sharing vehicles per day in four different cities, namely São Paulo, Salvador, Florianópolis, and Belo Horizonte. On page 10, these are the investments the company has made to grow. In the two-year period of 2018-2019, we have $320 million, some of them, part of it, in maturing. And we have an additional $626 million for the next two-year period, starting in 2020 all the way to 2021, a growth of 96%. I turn over to our CFO, Emilio Sanchez. Will be talking about the second quarter results and for the first half of the year as well. Good afternoon, everyone. I hope you're all well. Let me talk about the results of Q2, our financial position, and the total of operations. On page 12, we have 675 operations, 391,000 parking spots, an 8% increase, more than an additional 6,000 spots on-street concessions, San Bernardo and Taubaté, both of them in the state of São Paulo. An additional 15,000 spots in long-term contracts, especially in the shopping mall in Bahia. It's now in operation. On your right, that's the breakdown of revenues in the semester. Airports, commercial buildings, malls, healthcare, on-street concessions, among others. We are present in over 70 cities in 15 states in premium locations. São Paulo and Rio together account for 75% of our net revenue for the semester. We have maintained our proportional growth throughout all states. On page 13, we can see the impact of the pandemic in the net revenues of the company. With the quarantine in effect in most important cities, our revenues were down 68%, amounting to R$85 million. This quarter was the worst ever. It impacted every segment in our business. Let me point out, just like Andres said, our revenue has been recovering on a monthly basis. We've seen improvements in commercial buildings, hospitals, and especially in on-street segment. We have shown signs of recovering our revenues already. On page 14, the cash gross profit impacted by COVID-19 was down 85% when compared to the same quarter last year, 8.1 million reals. That's the total. For comparison basis, we excluded the pre-operational cost for the Zona Azul, our on-street contract, 5.6 million reals. Despite the major impact in our revenues, the measures taken to reduce costs and the contracts with downside protection have maintained our positive cash gross profit position. On page 15, this is the speed of the actions we took to mitigate the drop in net revenue. Over 63% reduction in costs, emphasizing renegotiating lease contracts. We've reduced operational labor costs and also other costs. We have major reductions of SG&A, over 36%. 100% of our employees had their working hours and salaries reduced in the period. On page 16, this is our FFO EBITDA and the operational income. As a consequence of the impact on our revenues, our adjusted EBITDA was minus 14.7 million reals. Two important highlights. First, despite having the worst quarter, and number two, considering the pre-operational expenses for Zona Azul São Paulo, we managed to reduce the negative impact in our EBITDA. That is to say, based on what we have seen, the worst is behind us. Our adjusted FFO was negative 23.3 million reals. Our net loss, considering the IFRS 16 impact, was minus 56.9 million reals. On to page 17 now. Let me talk about the accumulated net revenues for the year. When compared 2020 to 2019, the first 6 months of the year showed a net revenue of 329.2 million reals, a drop of 36.9% when compared to 2019. The main driver was the COVID-19. Let me remind you that the first 2 months of the year, our revenues were growing 8.6% when compared to the same period of the previous year. On page 18, the accumulated cash gross profit was 57.3 million, a 50.3% drop when compared to 2019. In that period, all segments had positive margins, except for the on-street concessions because of the pre-operational costs to implement Zona Azul São Paulo. We managed to offset the gross profit given the cost reduction initiatives adopted by the company, as I said before. Page 19 now. Costs of services rendered in the first 6 months amounted to 273.3 million, a 32.1% reduction when compared to last year. The total of general and administrative expenses of 41 million, a 26.4% decrease. Every reduction of expenses are being maintained, and they are reviewed on a monthly basis depending on the reopening speed of operations. This is our FFO EBITDA and accumulated financial results in the first 6 months of the year. Impacted by the second quarter, our EBITDA was 7.2 million, a 2.2% margin when compared to our net revenues, a major drop when compared to the same period of last year. We are including here the pre-operational costs for Zona Azul amounting to 5.6 million reals. And we do not have the net revenue from that operation yet. Our FFO was minus 11.3 million. Our net loss was 82.4 million reals. Now, Page 21. The net debt was 307.6 million reals. This semester is at 288 million reals. With that cash and the credit lines in final stages of negotiations, we're confident to overcome the pandemic and honor our payments. Our debt maturing in 2020 are in the final stages of negotiations. We don't see any pressure on our cash for the year that strengthen our strategy even further. Page 22 now. This is the cash flow for the quarter. We started in April at 89.4 million. We had operational cash that was negative, 4.6 million. We felt the impact in our cash from the COVID-19. As I said, the worst quarter for the company. We managed to offset that loss in operational cash. We started reimbursing the pre-operational cost for Zona Azul, amounting to 5.6 million reals for the quarter. We had the financial from the IPO, the resources, and credit lines that had already been contracted at 98.6 million. We started paying the concession fee for the Zona Azul. We have already paid two installments amounting to 150 million reals and other investments, 6.3 million, and interest payments of 10.6 million. June had a balance of 287.9 million reals in our cash. Page 23. We have the cash flow for the semester. We were at 120 million with operational cash negative of 7.7 million impacted by the second quarter. The Zona Azul capital increase, loans and CapEx, they all took place in the second quarter. We had CapEx investments of 37 million for the year and accrued interest payments of 15.4 million. The final number was 287 million. Thank you very much. I turn over the floor to Andre. He'll be talking about sustainability initiatives. Let me talk about sustainability now. On page 25, these are some examples of solar energy. In a parking lot in the state of Minas Gerais, we had the first solar panel on top of the roof of the parking space. 115,769 kilowatt hour per year, saving 135,000 kilos of CO2 in 15 years. Still on the topic solar energy, we have parking meters with photovoltaic plates. In on-street operations, we have 1,038 terminals in 15 cities, giving us a complete autonomy from the conventional grid, 1,800 watts per terminal per month. Final remarks. On page 27, we believe that the operational result starting in Q3 of this year, we're now starting it in July, we'll have positive cash generation, just like a faster pace in reopening our operations and improving revenues following health recommendations. We'll keep on maintaining the discipline of resources following the lines of our revenues recovery. In terms of liquidity management, we'll keep on assessing the credit lines to reinforce our cash position. We believe that in the post-COVID world, individual transportation will be more prevalent, just like in the rest of the world. We'll keep on using our parking spaces, trying to come up with alternative sources of revenue. Thank you. And we can now start our Q&A session. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now starting the Q&A session. please press star 1 to ask a question. To remove your question from the queue, please press star 2. Ms. Thais Alonso from Citibank asks the first question. Good morning. How are you all doing? I would like to better understand the partnership you have with ride-sharing application companies. When do you expect to bring those numbers back to the normal figures? Hello, good afternoon. This is André speaking. Could you please repeat the question? I could not understand what you said. Could you please repeat that? Can you explain the partnership between Estapar and ride-sharing companies such as Uber and similar companies? Uber is our partner in Santos Dumont Airport and Brasilia Airport, among others. We have had some initiatives to sanitize their cars, 600 cars per day in 4 operations, and there are other initiatives currently in effect. Estapar is providing structure because our presence in major airports, Uber-like companies or last-mile logistic companies can also use our structure. As to the second part of the question, as to revenues going back to normal numbers, just like I said during the call, that recovery is happening on a monthly basis. Of course, every industry, every region, they all have their own paces to recover. But the city of São Paulo, for example, in Rio, we see some reopening. We believe these two governments will keep on reopening the economy, preventing a second wave of the pandemic, but that recovery has been going on consistently on a monthly basis. Thank you very much. Thank you. Elvis Credendio from BTG Pactual asks the next question. Good afternoon. I have 2 questions. My first question is about the recovery. Can you break down the performance of each one of these segments? Airports, shopping malls, co-ops. This would be very interesting. My second question is about the on-street and Zona Azul. You said that on-street operations is 100% back to normal. What is the current situation for the third quarter? How soon can the Zona Azul operation become mature? Thank you. Thank you for your question. As to the different segments, hospitals, Zona Azul, supermarkets, and commercial buildings, they are recovering the fastest. They are not performing as bad as leisure, and the arenas, they are closed, most of them. We're just waiting from the cities and the states to approve protocols. And airports, some areas, some regions suffer a little bit more. The aerospace industry in Brazil is recovering faster than international flights, for example. In some airports, the volume is not that far behind that in the pre-pandemic times. Not every airport, but most arenas are still closed. But again, arenas, education, schools, universities, they are not as relevant in terms of margin or contribution margins. Let me answer the second question, the impact in Zona Azul. As I said, 100% of operations are open. It's not that different from the baseline, the pre-pandemic numbers. It's about 70 to 80% of the level we used to have. So the recovery is very quickly, is quick. For two reasons, Zona Azul is always the first option. It's readily available. It's whenever they are. And it's usually cheaper. So that's their first option for drivers in general. As to the Zona Azul in São Paulo, I don't know whether you were asking about that specifically, but we believe the transition will be in the last quarter. We would be taking over that once and for all. And we expect that the Zona Azul impact is marginal, especially in a city like São Paulo, a city that is very effective in reopening its economy. Thank you, André. That was very clear. Thank you. Thank you for your question. Igor Altero from Santander asks the next question. Thank you. I have two questions. The first is about capital allocation. What's your appetite for new concessions? Does it make sense to focus on short-term or smaller contracts? Or are you looking for preserving cash, focusing on organic growth? And my next question about G&A. You did great work in reducing costs and expenses. What can be recurring in terms of that, those savings? I'll be addressing the first question. Our CFO will answer the second question, Emilio. As to capital allocation and growth, from now on, with the Zona Azul contract, we are now in an advanced transition phase. We have a major growth for the company in the next 2 years. Our pipeline is very robust. It's growing even more during the pandemic. Other players do not have access to capital. They lack the infrastructure we do have that is beneficial to us. We're not celebrating the crisis, of course not, but this is a side effect that we see. But there is also a detrimental side effect in terms of urban mobility. States and cities and the federal government are having cash difficulties. Investments in urban mobility and infrastructure will suffer. We had already a substantial mass transport bottleneck in São Paulo. This bottleneck will be even stronger. So parking lots will become even more important. That's why we have organic growth expected, including smaller operations and many more opportunities in major projects. Being a public company, we have access to cheaper capital and more effective capital structures. We'll be even more competitive in this new scenario. So we are very optimistic as far as growth is concerned. Of course, on a short term, we're managing cash because that's the number one priority. Because we are still waiting for things to get back to normal. And I'll turn over to Emilio now for the G&A session. Hi, Igor. Yes, we want to reduce SG&A. We had major reductions. We restructure a couple of things. We're keeping track of every cost, not only SG&A, everything in operations. We're monitoring it on a monthly basis. We have a work team dedicated to that. The only thing that can go back to normal is the salary reduction for every executive in the company. And as of August, these salaries are going back to the levels we had in 2018. We'll keep costs down at least till the end of the year. And next year, we'll maintain the same discipline. So in answering your question, the answer is yes. We'll keep monitoring SG&A on a monthly basis. Thank you. That was very clear. Thank you. To ask a question, press star 1. If you are watching this via webcast, you can submit your questions to the IR team. This is Daniel. There's a question via the webcast from Khalil from Rich Capital. In the long term, do you consider selling energy? Because you may have the infrastructure for electric cars. Thank you, Khalil, for your question. We believe that electrical cars will play out like this. We have a very limited fleet still. But once the federal government establishes the 2030 route program, and there will be incentives after the program, you have several car manufacturers bringing electrical vehicles to Brazil, and we see some traction. We've been operating in this realm because we see opportunities in the future, and car manufacturers will somehow fund the implementation of this infrastructure. We are a well-positioned player to set up this recharging network. When the fleet becomes bigger, we may charge an extra fee. We have to consider all the legal framework. We can operate, and on a short-term scope, we're working directly with the car manufacturers. Please press star 1 to pose a question. Mr. Andre Mazzini from Citibank asks the following question. Hi, Andre. Hi, Emilio. My question is about Zona Azul. When you look at global cities like Amsterdam, for example. They want to reduce the number of parking spaces in the downtown area. In São Paulo, you have mechanisms to protect, protection mechanism to reposition or to rebalance your contract. Has it ever happened in other on-street contracts? How did you manage to offset those losses? Thank you, Andrea, for your question. I'll be quickly addressing the first part of the question, and then Mr. Zillow will be talking about that, the rest of the question. Let me talk about the reality. In Amsterdam, the reality is different. First, the mass transit, streetcars, trains, surface network because of the water problems, and the bicycle culture, a very flat city, mild temperatures. So you can have this type of model. Every city has its own unique mobility ecosystem. Of course, you can refer to standards, but weather, topography, everything has to be considered. And on top of that, you add the available capital for infrastructure projects. Unfortunately, we in Brazil lack this kind of capital. The vehicle, the passenger car, is a means of transportation still. That's why we believe in the future of our industry. I'll turn over to Fernando Zillow to talk about the technical issues of that rebalancing of contracts. Hi, Andre. Thank you for your question. Let me address the problem in São Paulo first. André Yazzi described it, but let me give you some more context. There's a natural protection because of the deficit of infrastructure when compared to the number of cars we have. In São Paulo, you have a protection agreement that is well established. It's very safe. It's very robust. And if the local government demands a reduction in the number of parking spaces in one region, it doesn't have to be in a similar situation to that of Amsterdam. If the traffic authorities want a repositioning of spots, there is some offset by giving us other spots in other areas. And if the number goes down, there is a rule, a contractual rule, that will regulate that reduction and a reduction in my net revenue. And that will be reducing my concession, my variable concession fee on a monthly basis. We make those adjustments. We do so in such a way that the expected revenue is guaranteed. That's how the contract protects us. That was very clear, Silly. And that can be used on a temporary basis. Let's say a marathon in São Paulo, no traffic for 2 days. Is there some sort of compensation, or does it have to be something more long-term? Let me give you another example. Trash collection containers. If that parking space is used for that trash bin, I have that protection to cover for my losses. Of course, there is some leeway. It's not one parking space will trigger one complaint, but anything unexpected, such as the example you gave us, the marathon, yes, I can resort to that temporary means of protection. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Andrea, for your question. This is your final call. Press star 1 to ask a question. This concludes the Q&A session. I'll turn over to Mr. Andre Yazzi for his closing remarks. Thank you for attending this call. Let me make a few comments. We have shown that we have the capacity to reduce costs almost on a par with the drop in our revenues, which allowed us to have a positive cash despite a very adverse quarter. Unless we have an unexpected second wave, it doesn't seem likely, at least now. The scenario is way more favorable. We have shown a solid recovery on a monthly basis, and we expect that to happen. We're very optimistic about the Zona Azul, São Paulo. The transition process is going according to plan, and we expect to conclude that transition at the end of the year. In conclusion, we believe that society will be prioritizing individual transportation means. This will strengthen our industry in the future. Thank you. Thank you very much. Have a good day. This concludes Estapar's teleconference. Thank you for attending. Have a good afternoon. Thank you for using Chorus Call.